Welcome to The Plants We Eat, an investigation of the history, biology, and culture of the plants that we use for food. I'm Jeff Gilman, director of the UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens and plant history enthusiast.
And I'm Cindy Proctor, part-time instructor at Central Piedmont in Charlotte and a solution-oriented landscape fanatic.
And once again, I just love that introduction. That's wonderful. And today, you know, every time we talk about another plant, I'm just so excited about it. But the potato, I mean, just over the top.
Well, we both like to talk about plants, and so we're both talking about our favorite topics, the history of it, and I love to equip people on how to grow them.
It's a lot of fun, and the one today, well, you know what? I'm going to start at the kicker, and we'll get back to it. 1979, 78 school children in South London become ill with problems ranging from vomiting and diarrhea to hallucinations. 1899, 56 German soldiers poisoned with same symptoms, vomiting, diarrhea, can't get off the toilet. 1918, 61 people are poisoned. One died in Glasgow. 1983, 61 students in Alberta, Canada are poisoned. In the early 50s, there's hundreds of poisonings in North Korea, including over 20 dead. And this is all from eating potatoes. Can you believe that?
No.
I mean, well, all right, so we're gonna get to that. But the potato is just amazing. The potato originates, it's been domesticated for about 7,000 to 10,000 years. It's originally from Peru and countries around Peru. There are about 200 species and subspecies of potato. Potatoes are the world's fourth largest crop behind corn, wheat, and rice. And potato is from a huge family of plants. It's called some people call it potato family, but really it's the nightshade family. Mm-hmm. That's the more official name for it. If a common name can't be called an official name, but it's the nightshade family.
You know, tomatoes are from that family too.
I'm going to go through a short list. Tomatoes, eggplant, peppers, but also, not only those, also deadly nightshade, Jimson weed, henbane. This is a family of plants that not only has really important foods, it also has some really important toxins. And therein lies some of the problems with the potato. And by the way, you mentioned tomato first thing with the nightshade family. I think I'll mention one of my favorite grafted plants right now. Have you ever heard of ketchup and fries?
No, I mean, I have, but I'm not sure what they're talking about.
All right, so let me tell you what ketchup
tomatoes
and
potatoes.
Tomatoes and potatoes. So, I mean,
of course.
This is a big family of plants, but two of the most closely related are the tomatoes and potatoes. Tomatoes and potatoes are just, I mean, they are extremely closely related. So you can actually take a tomato top and graft it onto a potato bottom, and you can produce tomatoes and potatoes on the same plant. Because the plant can't quite decide where to put all its resources, your tomatoes aren't amazing and your potatoes aren't amazing, but still, to get two for one, I mean, come on. So the potato is part of this family of plants, the nightshade family, that has great utility and yet also great toxins. And of course, that's where the whole story is going to be going. But let's start with the potato in Peru. Very important, domesticated by South Americans and recognized as important by the Europeans when they came in the 1500s, of course. Europeans then, particularly the Spanish, took the potato back to Europe, and the potato spread all across Europe. Now, the thing is, the potato was not particularly important to the Europeans as a food crop. I mean, certainly in times of famine, they'd eat it, but rather the potato was important as a crop for feeding animals. And if you think about it, it's kind of like corn in the United States. Today, we have all this corn, and the corn really primarily goes to feed our livestock rather than to feed us. Well, it's the same way with the potatoes. So it fed the animals, and really the only thing that was used in a significant way for was for vodka. I mean, they made alcohol with it. Of course, we're humans. We make alcohol with just about everything.
Let's make sure we know what's important here.
That's right. And to humans, it's pretty much alcohol. So through Europe, again, it developed, but it really didn't become a staple for eating, except in very small locations, until the 1700s in Ireland. Now, it became a staple in Ireland for a few reasons. First of all, Ireland doesn't have the best soil in the world. So the potato actually thrives in poor soil. Not only that, England was taking most of Ireland's other crops. England, you know, just they did not rule Ireland particularly well. That's a political issue, which we won't get into here. But England took most of Ireland's other crops. So Ireland really concentrated on the potato. And that was its primary food. In fact, we've got information which shows that the typical Irish person would be eating between 5 and 10 pounds of potatoes per day,
wow,
along with a pint of milk, and that kept them healthy. Now, that's an interesting thing in and of itself. The potato is, you know, we think of it as this carbohydrate bomb. Truth is, the potato does have a lot of carbohydrates, but it's actually full of vitamins and minerals.
Especially the skin.
Yes, exactly. Especially the skin. If I can mention something real quickly, which isn't necessarily part of the show, but so up in at the University of Minnesota, where I was a professor for 15 years, I had a colleague named Christian Thill. Christian Thill passed away a couple of years ago, very young. But he's the guy who really got me excited about potato. He was an absolute maniac with potatoes. You never met anybody so excited about a crop in their lives. And during one brief time during the year, every year he would have a chip frying time, and the whole campus would smell like potato chips, and it was incredible. But I learned to appreciate the healthiness of the potato through Christian. I mean, one day I said something negative about a potato, and he took me aside, and he showed me these charts, and the potato is actually a very, very healthy plant.
Well, the skin is full of iron.
Yeah,
and other
things.
That's right.
B vitamin. It's packed with
right.
good stuff.
But we don't eat the skin.
Right. So the Irish eating 5 to 10 pounds of potatoes a day plus the milk was sufficient. And the milk, of course, was for the protein. So between the mid-1750s to about 1841, Ireland's population grew from 2.5 million people to 8.2 million people. And it grew because this potato was so good at feeding the population. So the population actually grew because of this single crop. In fact, conservative estimates actually show the potato across Europe was responsible for about 25% of the growth of the European population from 1700 to 1900. So although it became extremely important in Ireland, it also became more important during the late 1700s and the 1800s for the population of all of Europe. Prior to that, again, prior to around 1750, 1800, it really just wasn't used that much. The Irish, by the way, got the potato. It used to be thought that the potato got to Ireland primarily through England. It actually looks like the potato got to Ireland through the Spanish, which is kind of interesting.
It is.
Yeah. There's actually a particular name for it. It was known as the kind Spaniard. And that's why we think that the kind-hearted Spaniard is the reason that we think that it, part of the reason we think that it got to Ireland through Spain rather than England. All right, so we have this incredible increase in population in Ireland because of the potato. Then in the early 1840s, what happened is that there was a disease that hit Ireland. This disease was called late blight. Late blight is actually a very common disease of potatoes and actually some other crops. Again, your nightshade family crops. In 1845, it absolutely decimated the crops in Ireland first because it was a wet year. And in wet years, late blight tends to be much, much worse. And second, because of the way the potatoes are grown. See, potatoes aren't really grown from seed the way we think of it. Potatoes are actually grown from chunks of the potato. See, the potato, and it's going to blow everybody's mind, the potato is actually a big underground stem. And stem cuttings are a great way to reproduce almost any plant. So you So you take cuttings of this potato, you take bits of the potato and you plant it in soil and you get new potato plants. And there's a good chance that you guys did this in grade school for a science project. So anyway, that's the way that they reproduce the potato in Ireland. So really, you had three types of potatoes. That was about it. You had what was known as the apple, the cup, and the big popular one was the lumper. And by the way, you really can't find these too easily anymore. I did do a little bit of looking. Not easy to find varieties. And there are about 5,000 varieties of potatoes worldwide. So, late blight was so damaging to the crops in Ireland that about 1 million people died of starvation and related diseases, and about 1 million people emigrated. In total, about 1/4 of the population of Ireland just basically disappeared. Isn't that incredible?
It
just
is.
1/4 of it. We can't even imagine it today. And that's where a lot of our Irish immigrants came from. Now, the Irish who came from Ireland, you know, they were still tightly connected to their potatoes, actually. So they would actually bring pieces of potatoes with them when they came to the United States. And in fact, if we look at potato production in the U.S., it actually appears that our potatoes here actually came from Europe, which isn't to say they didn't originally come from Peru, because obviously they did originally come from Peru, but they went from Peru to Europe where there was some breeding and some different cultivars developed. Then they came back to the United States from Europe. So they didn't come straight from South America to North America. They actually kind of came in a circuitous way. Also interesting, and a side note, you're familiar with Colorado potato beetle?
Yes.
You know that the Colorado potato beetle has very little to do originally with potato? The Colorado potato beetle actually developed in a variety of places, but it grew up through Colorado. And the Colorado potato beetle, its favorite crop was actually another nightshade family plant known as buffalo burr. And then they started growing potatoes, and the Colorado potato beetle loved potatoes, and that's how it moved across the entire United States, was on potatoes.
Of course.
Exactly. But actually, originally, it liked to eat buffalo burr. So the reason that, to go back, the reason that Ireland lost all these potatoes, the reason for the famine was this stuff called late blight. Now, here's the interesting thing. Late blight does not generally fare well on potatoes with high levels of a compound called solanine. Right? Solanine is a poison that is found in all potatoes, and particularly in the potato peel. Okay? So when I started off this podcast talking about all these different people that were poisoned, they were poisoned by solanine. All right? Now, typically a potato, a typical potato that you eat, if you eat 5 to 10 pounds of potatoes, that's about the right amount for people to get sick with this solanine.
So here I'm making a big deal about eating the skin.
That's actually a big deal.
Okay, but I'm going to poison myself if I eat too many.
If you ate only the skins, the skin is where most of the solanine builds up. So the skin is actually, yes, it's pretty healthy, but you are building up toxic compounds. Now remember, I said that the Irish were eating 5 to 10 pounds of potatoes per day, Remember that?
I can't imagine. All I can think about is French fries.
But if they were eating 5 to 10 pounds of potatoes per day, and they were eating the skins too, that should be sufficient potato to make them sick.
Of course.
Especially if they're storing the potatoes, because the way that you increase solanine in a potato, and actually the reason that most of the people got sick in North Korea and Glasgow and all these different situations, was because the potatoes either were exposed to the sun or stored for a long period of time. That causes solanine to increase. So the question is, why weren't these people in Ireland poisoned by the amount of potatoes that they were eating? And, you know, I was able to find this paper on different solanine levels in different potatoes, and it turns out that this lumper potato actually has a really low concentration of solanine. So this low concentration of solanine means that the people in Ireland weren't poisoned, but it also means that the potatoes weren't resistant to late blight, which is what caused the problems.
That is interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So that's really interesting stuff. And then, more interesting, is that, you know, potato chips, potatoes, they are selected to some extent today.
Yes.
For the solanine levels. We don't like high levels of solanine, and certainly we can find there are different potatoes with different levels of solanine. They can be radically different levels of solanine. So they did not used to be selected for their levels of solanine, at least not so much. It wasn't thought about too deeply. What they're selected for, and again, this is something that I can attribute to my time spent with Christian Thill at the University of Minnesota. You know, they wouldn't actually taste too many of the potato chips that they made. What they were looking for was the color and the consistency and the way it snapped. You know, so they were looking for some different things. They weren't necessarily tasting them. Well, in 1967, a new chipping potato was introduced. It was known as the Lenape. And it was popular because of its resistance to late blight. And that should click something in your head.
Yes.
But it also had these amazing chipping properties.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know what? If you ate the Lenape, you got sick. It would cause you to become nauseous because of its levels of solanine.
Now, that might be a positive thing.
Well, yeah.
Potato chips. Right?
So maybe that is actually a good thing, except that actually the solanine does take a while to work, so you might not attribute it to the chipping. Anyway, you know, it actually can still be used to some extent in breeding, but when they use it for breeding, they're using it for the chipping quality, not for the solanine, so they have to be very careful to select the particular, the offspring that have a low solanine and high other attributes for the chipping potato. So it is important that we remember that potatoes, I think potatoes are amazing. I love them in all their different forms. I love the, you know, Weird Al Yankovic song. Was it Addicted to Spuds? He talks about all the different ways that you can eat potatoes, and I love just about all of them. But it's important to remember that potatoes, if they're stored incorrectly, they can be quite toxic. It's also important to remember that when we have a potato that's very, very green, the green isn't necessarily associated with this poison, but there's a good correlation.
That's right.
So an older potato has a lot of green on it, is better not to eat. Also, you know the eyes of the potato where you see new sprouts coming out?
Yes.
If that starts to happen, that's also an indicator that you could have higher levels of solanine. So that's another potato. If you start to see sprouts coming out, do yourself a favor, throw it away, and avoid the risk of possibly poisoning yourself with this.
Or grow it.
Or grow it. Yeah, you could use it to grow into a brand new plant. Potatoes are a pretty easy crop
to grow. They really are easy.
All in all. You know, it's good that they're such an easy crop to grow because, you know, one of the things about potatoes is that in terms of calories per acre that you can grow for any plant, calories per acre with the potato is second to none. You can grow about 9.2 million calories per acre with a potato, compared to 7.5 million for corn, 7.4 million for rice, soybean at 2.8 million. You know, that 9.2 million calories that you can get per acre with potato, that means that as a subsistence food, as a food to keep a population going, as they found in Ireland, it's really second to none.
Well, it absolutely. I mean, have you ever seen the movie The Martian?
Yes, I have.
Right. He survived for how many years?
In fact, I actually read the book before it came out as
oh,
a movie.
Okay.
I did.
Well, yeah. You probably know more than we do then. But, you know, yes, the potato is extremely easy to grow. In fact, there's not a whole lot to say about except for a few things. It is one of the plants that you could buy at the grocery store, cut it up, making sure you have an eye, mm-hmm. you know, when you cut up your underground stem, mm-hmm. and then burying it underground, and you're going to have several potatoes from that one plant. So mm-hmm. let's get to how you do that. Now, the one thing is I'm always going to be a thing about raised beds. And I okay. hear the same thing. And part of that is that in urban situations, and I'm presuming that's where most people, you know, live, mm-hmm. there is just, it's hard to overcome your compacted soil unless you do a lot of labor intensive work, which I also recommend for other plants. But for these annual types, I love raised beds. And for potatoes can do in containers. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But to get started, buy a organic potato because they might have a lot of spud inhibitors mm-hmm. on the potato that you get at the grocery store that's not labeled organic.
Right.
So you can cut it up, or I kind of like to let it grow in the spud, let it grow mm-hmm. stems on it or shoots out of the stem, I should mm-hmm. say, before I plant it. That just makes me feel good that I'm transplanting something literally from my cupboard to the ground. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But I'll do that first. And you want to do it about 2 weeks after frost. And then the fun thing is you'll expose a little bit of that stem that's grown from the potato, but you're going to hill it. Have you ever heard of hilling potatoes? Have you ever grown potatoes?
I've never grown potatoes. The one thing that I learned about hilling with potatoes is that it's used for a variety of reasons, but the one, of course, that I was most interested in was that you mound up soil around the potato because any sunlight hitting the potato could increase the solanine level.
Yes, that is the main reason, but it also will promote more potato tuber growth, instead of otherwise. And that might have helped with poor soil issues mm-hmm. too. But, mm-hmm. you know, we know better now. And so you're hilling up the growth. And what's happening is as it grows, and you'll read like from 6 inches to 12 inches, you're going to hill the plant up where just a few leaves are exposed. And you're going to do that about 2 to 3 times over the season. And then once those leaves start to flower and turn yellow, that's when your tubers are ready.
Aha!
It's really that easy.
Wow.
It's really that easy. Now, the container part is fun because I like the container part. And people have done this in 5-gallon buckets mm-hmm. even. And you just need to drill holes on the side. To allow well-drained soil. But I almost like a wooden crate, you know, and that helps with a lot of the issues that you might have with flea beetles. Mm-hmm. The potato blight that you might have in a home garden could be a result of high pH. Potatoes need a low pH.
They need a lower pH.
They do. They need about a 5.5.
But the good news is that most of your container media, that if you're using a container
yes.
to grow them, is going to be at that range.
That's right.
Anyway.
That's right.
So it's really only a concern if you're growing outdoors.
That's right.
In the soil.
Exactly. Good point. And so a high pH can promote stress and have potato blight, and also a lack of water can really promote it too. So,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean you need to overwater it. Just need to make well watered. Now, I know you said In Ireland, it was because of too much water.
Right? I was going to say that late blight is going to respond to, it's the stress of either more, too much or too little water.
That's right.
Actually, as far as the plant is concerned, too much water and too little water actually affect it almost the same way.
Right. So as you watch your potato grow and you're hilling it up, you know, the first part, the vegetative growth, is helping it focus on its underground part as that it's going to form later in the season. Mm-hmm. In about, a few months, I mean, you should have about 10 potatoes per plant. So that one little piece from your cupboard that you've cut up, that's grown some more stems, can give you about 10 potatoes. Now, the best time to plant a potato, they have some old sayings here that I want to share with you. So old timers in England planted their potato crops when they saw dandelions blooming in the open fields. So that's when they thought it was a good time. The Pennsylvania Dutch considered St. Patrick's Day their official potato planting day. And many Christians believe that Good Friday is the best day to plant potatoes.
These are an annual crop, right?
Yes.
We pop them in and pop them out in the fall.
Yes, sir. And another tradition is to plant them before March 19th or 20th, before the equinox.
Okay.
So, but what do these all have in common?
They're right around the same
time. Yeah, they're about the springtime, about 2 weeks after the frost, to make sure that we don't have any more frost. And once you plant them, you should start seeing some growth occur in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, they'll grow in cooler soils. Whereas a tomato, you really need to wait for warm soils. The potato will at least start to grow in cooler soils.
Well, and that's the thing. It really, the tomato loves the heat, you know, and that's when really it thrives. But, you know, potatoes, have you ever heard of new potatoes? Of course.
No.
You know, the new potatoes, you know, the small ones that
we eat.
Mm-hmm. Those are just regular potatoes that are pulled up after 10 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So they're not any specific variety.
No.
They're multiple varieties.
So if you harvest it earlier than you should, about 10 mm-hmm. weeks after planting, then you'll get quote unquote new potatoes.
Very cool.
Very cool. So potatoes are really, you know, one of those easy plants for a new gardener, you know, or who wants to experiment a little bit.
You know, something I think that is great to have a crop that you can go out as a new gardener and try and just feel good about to get you started.
Yes.
And I think the potato is one. And even if you never progress beyond the potato, well, at least you've learned the one crop that if we have an apocalypse, this is the plant that you want to know how to grow, because...
And not many people grow them.
No, they don't.
So that you would be a little unusual.
That's right. And you'd be able to feed your whole block.
And you could use a 5-gallon bucket.
You'd be able to feed your whole block that's been knocked down by some kind of... Anyway.
But the hilling is important.
Yes, the hilling is important because we want to stay away from that solanine.
Yes.
You don't want to end up like those poor
kids.
And
it will produce more potatoes for you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to The Plants We Eat. We look forward to talking with you again soon.